And this is 10th canto, starting with chapter 8. And you'll see the verse number, at least I'll say the verse number, so you can also follow there. We'll have some readings from those verses. And chapter 9. No, we're starting at chapter 8. And I think this was advertised as a Kartik talk. I prepared a little something in focus, is out of focus. Maybe a little on the light side. Of course, it gets a little darker. Samochat Radhamadava. Instead, Om Gyanati Mirandasya. That's good. Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama
Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah, except that I can't see. The middle light would have been good, but you turned it off. I can't start until you straighten this out. Well, can you? I mean, you can. So that it's straight on the top and straight on the bottom. It just and it gets bigger. Wow, that's even better. That's it. Fantastic. And, well, it's not okay, but this is not exactly a straight line. You'd flunk a geometry class. See if you, that's the best you can get it. Hare Krishna. So thank you all very much for being here. And today is the day of Kartik, although when I got in touch with my good friend Govinda Maharaj, Hare Krishna Govinda Maharaj, I think he's watching. No, he's not out there. He's up over there in Vrindavan. And other devotees. Vrindavan, Mayapur. It's Kartik tomorrow, starts Kartik. We're starting today. For what reason, I don't know, but that's fine anyway. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Right, if we open the window a little, just to keep the oxygen level. Yeah, it's always open. Don't worry, it'll happen to you when you get old. Yes. I'm not going to talk about Mother Yashoda and Krishna's pastimes and talk about any particular details of those pastimes. You're going to probably hear more about it as the month goes on. And if you want to know more, then there's this lovely book that's going to be available just outside the door. But I'd like to read from Srimad Bhagavatam and just a little about what this is all about, what Kartik is all about, why this particular pastime is important, and how it's meant to be relevant to Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. So, since we're reading from Bhagavatam, then let's begin like we always do. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, that's like chanting Radha Madhava. So this is sort of an introduction to name of the book is Damodar Janani. Someone told me that was also the title of the presentation class, but better that it's not. Focus, a little focus. And I've got Adi Guru Prabhu here. He's going to read. Now, this is the 8th chapter of the 10th canto. Hands up, who's read all of Srimad Bhagavatam up to here? Okay, I think we're doing better than last year when I asked a similar question. But it's still pretty poor. And you want to go back to Godhead? Read the Bhagavatam. Otherwise you're an illusion if you're going to go back to Godhead. Starts off on a soft note, and then we go up from there. But that's why Prabhupada... And I heard you did a beautiful book, which I haven't as yet seen. I'd like to see that. On Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes. Just by reading Bhagavatam, then you can actually attain love for Krishna. But you got to read it, you got to study it, you got to make it your life. It was Srila Prabhupada's life. Up to now, you've heard about Krishna's different incarnations, the tattva, the philosophy of Krishna, the 10th subject of Srimad Bhagavatam. Up to now, we've really concentrated on the first 9, Atra, Sarga, Visarga, Stat, Stanam, Poshanam, Utaya, and so on. Manvantars, the creation, destruction comes later on in the Bhagavatam. But the understanding, ultimately, of who Krishna is. And now, we come to Krishna's pastimes. But it isn't just some kind of, okay, finally we got over the tough part and now we're into the nectar. It is the nectar, and it is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the face of Krishna. It's the real substance. But if you want to drink nectar, because Bhagavatam starts off like that, Pibatam Rasam, you want to drink that nectar, you have to have the suitable vehicle, you have to have the right mouth. And that understanding has to be there in order to really appreciate what's going on in the 10th canto. So, what is going on? Well, Krishna's taken his birth, Vasudeva has taken him to Vrindavan, and the Vrindavan pastimes are beginning. Which means that Krishna has killed Putana, and he's killed Trinavarta, and he's starting to exhibit, he's growing up a little, and he's become quite naughty, and he walks. He's 3 years old. So he's around 3 years old, and he has just eaten dirt. So you know that pastime, Krishna eating dirt. And Balaram squeals on him. What's it said? What's the word?
Grasses on him.
Snitches on him. He snitches on him, because if you're a brother and you know, you tell your mother. So he tells Mother Yashoda, and Mother Yashoda wants to see. And then what does she see? She sees the universe. and she sees everything, because everything's in Krishna. Ultimately, everything is in Krishna, and Krishna is everything. This is also Krishna Bhaktivedanta Manor, and so is, believe it or not, Herzmir and Herzmir Borough Council is also Krishna. But also different from Krishna. And then she starts to think he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna doesn't like that. So, then what happens? Reading.
Mother Yashoda, by the grace of the Lord, could understand the real truth. But then again, the Supreme Master, by the influence of the internal potency, Yogamaya, inspired her to become absorbed in intense maternal affection for her son.
This is, by the way, those who want to follow on their folio, it's 10.8.43. 10.8.43. Now, yes, the seat is coming in handy. So I can read it, what is there to read here. I'll give the Bhagavatam to you, and then you can give it to me. But actually, it's better that I see it there. Can someone bring this seat over here? Then I can see both things, although you may not be able to see everything. Thank you. Transition here is that, as I mentioned earlier, is that along with everything else that we've learned, basically devotees have been trained to understand the rules and principles of devotional service. Sadhana bhakti, and hopefully, it's supposed to have been self-realized by the time you read the second canto, which would mean that, well, in the least, that one starts to actually seriously practice Krishna consciousness, understand that it's not this body, and so on. And the principles of devotional service have been really outlined by different personalities. But there's two kinds of devotional service and practice. And one is devotional practice following the regulative principles, and the other one is spontaneous devotional service. Now, up until now, explicitly, that spontaneous devotional service hasn't really been described so much. It's there in certain verses, and there are different personalities who speak of it. But here the theme becomes something else. Is that the formality of devotional service for Krishna with the regulations is not a type of devotion that controls Krishna. And it's not the type of devotion that attains the pastimes that you see with Mother Yashoda taking place. Here, yes, Krishna is shifting. He's shifting away. I'm just looking at Srila Prabhupada's purport. And he's explaining that this is all transpiring by Krishna's Yogamaya. The next verse then says,
immediately forgetting Yogamaya's illusion that Krishna had shown the universal form within his mouth, Mother Yashoda took her son on her lap as before, feeling increased affection in her heart for her transcendental child.
Fine. This follows one verse. This verse here, you can see, Traya Chopanishadischa Sankhya Yogai Shashattatai Upagiyamana Mahatnam Harisa Makyanatmajam.
The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are studied through the three Vedas, the Upanishads, the literature of Sankhya Yoga, and other Vaishnava literature. Yet Mother Yashoda considered that Supreme Person her ordinary child.
Okay, if we go back to the first canto, third chapter, there's one verse that starts, Ete Changsa Kala Pungsam. And what is the importance of that verse? Well, it has many importances, but I'm just looking for one. Ladies, gentlemen, quickly. That's the rest of the verse, I know that. But what's the importance of the verse? Anyone? It's the Paribhasa Sutra of Srimad Bhagavatam. Do you know what the Paribhasa Sutra is? Some, yes. Some. Okay, if you don't know, then you have to ask Sutapa later. I can't get it in great detail. But Paribhasa Sutra establishes the law that governs the rest of the text. And anything that you find in Srimad Bhagavatam that is contrary to that statement has to be adjusted to fit. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says this shloka is the Paribhasa Sutra for the 10th canto. Now look at it carefully. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead studied through the Vedas, Upanishads, the literature of Sankhya Yoga and other Vaishnava literature. Okay, this is just standard. Yet Mother Yashoda considered that the Supreme Person, her ordinary child. In other words, Mother Yashoda's devotion for Krishna is actually the highest standard of bhakti. You may hear about other things. And the original feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is revealed to Mother Yashoda. You can't see it in the Vedas and the Upanishads and so on. And you can't actually see it just by a regulated devotion. So that the ultimate template of devotional service has to be compared to this. If you hear something to the contrary throughout the Bhagavatam, you have to adjust it to fit this concept that spontaneous loving devotional service is the actual way by which a devotee sees Krishna as not the Supreme Lord, but as their child, as their friend, as their beloved, as their master, and Krishna sees them in the same light. This is my friend. So Srila Prabhupada explains this nice point later. And people may say, because philosophers will argue, that, well, that means that God has become subordinate and he loses his supremacy. He's under people. Srila Prabhupada points out, no, Krishna is subordinate to the love of the devotee. So it's the love of the devotee, and that love is his own Swarup Shakti. That's his own potency that he bestows upon devotees. So for those who are into memorizing verses, and I hope that the devotees are, this is a verse really to memorize. Important things. If you read Prabhupada's purport, it's a very wonderful purport. And keep in mind where Srila Prabhupada is. Prabhupada now is in Vrindavan. It's 1977. It's somewhere between August and September, because this is the 8th chapter. And Prabhupada's writing relatively short purports here. The purport is very lengthy. It's like a page and a half long, almost even more. And Prabhupada's leaving the planet. So what Prabhupada says is very significant, because it may be that things Prabhupada has not emphasized before, he's really emphasizing here. And given that we have enough time, and I can't imagine how I'm going to finish by 9:00, But given that we have enough time, then you'll see how Srila Prabhupada is repeating something that he wants his followers to really understand. Okay. So Prabhupada talks about prayojan, and he says that the highest necessity, he translated that Yashoda is on the highest stage of necessity, for she is completely absorbed in love for Krishna. She's absorbed in love. She's not absorbed in who Krishna is. She's just absorbed in love for him. If we read, as you see down here, it says read purport, but that would really take quite a bit of time. Prabhupada here says, but Mother Yashoda performs no upasana, for she has developed transcendental ecstatic love for Krishna. Therefore, her position is better than of Devaki. In order to show this, Srila Vyasadeva enunciates this verse, Traya, Chopanishadibis, etc. Later on in the purport, Srila Prabhupada again emphasizes, but Mother Yashoda has surpassed all these three stages, which you see here. She has come to the platform of loving Krishna as her beloved child, and therefore she is accepted on the highest stage of spiritual realization. Interesting statement. The absolute truth is realized in three features, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavanmeti, Shamyate, but she is in such ecstasy that she does not care to understand who is Brahman, who is Paramatma, or who is Bhagavan. She doesn't care who's Bhagavan. Bhagavan has personally descended to become her beloved child. She's just interested in who her child is. Now here Srila Prabhupada saying is who he's becoming. She developed this love. We'll see later on that actually Mother Yashoda never developed love. Okay. There's more. If you read the purport, it's a really wonderful purport, as usually Srila Prabhupada's purports are. When Parikshit Maharaj hears this, this is something new. It may not be new to our ears, it's very new to his ear. Supreme Personality of Godhead has become not a child, an ordinary child. Very ordinary. Behaving just like an ordinary child. Mothers here have children, so they have ordinary children, although usually mothers think my child's not ordinary, something very special. And they may be, Krishna is just like that. He behaves, and if Krishna wants to be ordinary, then he can be more ordinary than anybody else. So he's behaving just like an ordinary child, and Parikshit Maharaj said, ordinary. How did she get here? I've heard about Prahlad Maharaj, I've heard about Dhruva Maharaj, I've heard about great kings who've gone back to Godhead, I've heard about so many devotees. I never heard about anything like this. And I know how they attained to wherever they attained to and that type of perfection they got. How did she get this perfection? And that becomes a very interesting topic, and it's a topic I discuss in great detail in the book. Srila Prabhupada here says she developed. Later on, Srila Prabhupada says she's eternally Krishna's son. She didn't develop love, she always had love. Okay. Prabhupada says two things. Both things must be right. It isn't that one is right and the other is wrong. It's like Shastra. Shastra says, Apani, God has no feet. And then on the other side, we always talk about the Krishna's lotus feet. So, has he got feet or doesn't he have feet? Well, sometimes he doesn't and sometimes he does. Because whatever scripture says is true. Now, how both things are true at the same time? That's a very interesting thing. So, How is it that Mother Yashoda developed, but she didn't develop love for Krishna? And that gets answered. So the next verse reads like this.
Having heard of the great fortune of Mother Yashoda, Purikit Maharaj inquired from Shukadeva Goswami, O learned Brahman, Mother Yashoda's breast milk was sucked by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What past auspicious activities did she and Nanda Maharaj perform to achieve such perfection in ecstatic love?
Bhagavatam's always, not always, but practically always, showing us how to develop bhakti. Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj and the Jasira. So, why did he have to practice devotional service? Anyway, there's a pastime behind that. But he's both a Nitya Siddha and also a Sadhana Siddha simultaneously. But it's always sort of the same type of devotional service that they're cultivating. So Pariksit Maharaj is really curious. Now, what did she do in order to attain this? And here Srila Prabhupada is sort of paraphrasing. What kind of pious activity did they perform in their past lives by which they achieved such a stage of perfection? Prabhupada then says, of course, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda are accepted as the father and mother of Krishna. Yet, Mother Yashoda was more fortunate than Nanda Maharaj, Krishna's father. Because, why? Huh? She drank the best milk. Very good. Huh? Tied Krishna. If you read the Purport, Srila Prabhupada, it says, because as a mother, she's always with Krishna. Whereas Nanda Maharaj, he's the breadwinner of the family. So he's out. He's out a lot of the time. So he doesn't see everything. He just hears she complains. He did this and he did that. But Nanda Maharaj is, he's very soft-hearted. If I have time, I'll remind you. So Yashoda is called Mahabhaga, greatly fortunate. And then for those of you who know this pastime, what comes after this? What does Shukadeva Goswami explain? The story of what?
Damodar Leela.
Huh? No, no, we're not there at Damodar Leela yet.
Oh, their past life, you know, as demigods.
Okay, Drona and Dara. So there's a story of, because what did they do? Okay, this is what they did. Drona and Dara performed these austerities. They wanted the Supreme Lord, and they wanted the benediction that their pastimes with the Supreme Lord would then ensure that people, by hearing them, people would attain perfection. So it's one important thing of hearing this pastime. We can attain perfection. I'm going to be jumping to 51. And what was the point? Oh, yes. Okay, so then he tells the story of Drona and Dara, and Drona and Dara means that Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, well, it seems like they were sadhakas, and they attained the position of being the mother and father. So, can you become the mother and father of Krishna? Someone want to perform some austerities, and then you can become Krishna's father, Krishna's mother. Seems like that, but it's not like that. And that's something that anyway we'll come to and I'll mention, but acharyas go to great detail, and Srila Prabhupada explains later on, no. This Drona and Dara, they are just expansions of the original Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj who appear as sages, or who appear as demigods, and they perform sadaka. But the original form of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna expands himself. You know that? Krishna's devotees expand themselves. They can expand themselves in unlimited forms. So Krishna's associates expand themselves in wherever the Lord is, for instance, in the universe, in different forms. Well, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu doesn't have a mother or father, but others, for instance, like Upendra and so on, then their mother and fathers are there. These are all expansions of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. Partial expansions. To the same degree that that incarnation, for instance, on Indraloka of Lord Vamandev is a partial expansion of Krishna. To that degree, they're partial expansions of the original. They performed sadhana, but the originals didn't perform. The originals are always situated in a perfected stage. So they give the pastime. Then we go on to this other verse. And this other verse says what?
Thereafter, O Maharaj Prakrit, best of the Bharatas, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead became the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they maintained continuous, unswerving devotional love in parental affection. And in their association, all the other inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopas and gopis, developed the culture of Krishna Bhakti.
Okay, if you get this, you understand what 10th canto is about. If you don't, then you need to. This part, right after here, can you read the last sentence again?
And in their association, all the other inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopas and gopis, developed a culture of Krishna Bhakti.
In other words, the it's summarized over here, concluding actually that pastime. He said that, all right, now when Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda appeared, they appeared with Krishna, and they displayed this parental affection. And all those other inhabitants of Vrindavan who associated with them, they attained the same, a similar type of perfection. So they developed the culture of Krishna Bhakti. You can't have the same love for Krishna as Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. But you can have a similar love. It's the same in terms of the category, that it's Vatsalya Ras, and it's similar in terms of its intensity, its different qualities, the ecstasies that it exhibits, and so on. In other words, when you hear about Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, that's how we associate. They were there personally, and they saw. But you can see through your ears. And if you see Krishna's pastimes attentively, shushushuddhi takshanat, as Bhagavatam says in the beginning, then you can develop the same culture of Krishna bhakti only through the Bhagavatam. Padma Purana, Vishnu Purana, any Purana, Mahabharata, this, that, you cannot attain love for Krishna. Not this kind of love for Krishna. For this, you need to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, kim va parari swaraha? What's the need for anything else? It already says you don't need anything else. All you need is this. But you have to hear. And that's the problem when we don't read regularly, constantly, and somehow we get in the illusion that we're actually getting somewhere, or at a certain point we wake up and we realize I'm not getting anywhere. And that then becomes a problem, because we should be, especially after 10, 15, 20, 30 years, the culture of Krishna Bhakti. And we associate with Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and Krishna and the cowherd boys and the gopis and whatever type of devotion someone aspires after by hearing, by constantly hearing. So it's like, you know, the living entity is like a chameleon. You you're green, you crawl on the branch, and gradually you'll turn brown. But you got to crawl on the branch of Srimad Bhagavatam to actually gradually start to develop those qualities that these Vaishnavas have. So here Srila Prabhupada says, when Krishna exhibited his childhood pastimes, not only did Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda increase their devotional affection, but those in their association also increased in devotional service. In other words, persons who follow the activities of Vrindavan will also develop devotional service in the highest perfection. Prabhupada hasn't spoken about this like this before, because Bhagavatam hasn't spoken about it before, and he's commenting on what's there. But now Prabhupada's repeating something. And Prabhupada's almost at the stage of just lying down. In other words, he has no strength, he has no energy, and he is leaving this world. It's no secret. Prabhupada is fasting to death. But he wants to make sure that everyone gets the message. And he wants to get this message across, that these later chapters that Prabhupada has access to, because Prabhupada will only get to chapter 14, which is just two chapters beyond this pastime. Okay, so then we move on, and we're going to just read this pastime, skim through the pastime that you all know in order to pay respect to it. And let's start, Adiguru.
Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, one day when Mother Yashoda saw that all the maidservants were engaged in other household affairs, she personally began to churn the yogurt. While churning, she remembered the childish activities of Krishna, and in her own way, she composed songs and enjoyed singing to herself about all those activities.
It's a very interesting thing. Prabhupada says here that I never heard him say before or after, but Srila Prabhupada says that the Brijbasis would compose different songs about Krishna and sing them so they could remember them. So like Yashomati Nandana Brajavaranagara Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. And then Srila Prabhupada also says, and we should do that. We should compose songs to remember Krishna by. And of course, songs can be books. Okay, now I'm supporting what I'm doing. And I'll just quote here, this should be the practice of persons eager to remain in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. Well, at least singing them. If you're not composing them, then singing them. This incident shows how Krishna conscious Mother Yashoda was. To stay in Krishna consciousness, we should follow such persons. Again, how do you follow such persons? You have to hear about them. So, therefore, Rupa Goswami says, the essence of all advice, Sukirtana anu smrityo kramena rasanam niyatya tishtan rajutad anugami jananugami. Follow. How to follow? We're here, they're somewhere. But they're here. They're here by hearing, and if we hear. And it's a message you're hearing all the time, but we really need to somehow or another prioritize our lives and realize that this is the most important thing. Otherwise, at a certain point, we will have no time left. Now Srila Prabhupada starts to talk about something very extraordinary.
Dressed in a saffron-yellow sari with a belt tied about her full hips, Mother Yashoda pulled on the churning rope, laboring considerably, her bangles and earrings moving and vibrating and her whole body shaking. Because of her intense love for her child, her breasts were wet with milk. Her face, with its very beautiful eyebrows, was wet with perspiration, and malati flowers were falling from her hair.
Very beautiful scene. This really, you know, Shukadev Goswami, at least we got a break from him describing battle scenes. Somehow he's got this thing about describing how people's heads are like turtles floating in blood. But now this is a different type of description, extraordinary, very poetic. And Srila Prabhupada's purport. Anyone who desires to be Krishna conscious in motherly affection or parental affection should contemplate the poet, the bodily features of Mother Yashoda. Obviously, we're doing that by hearing. But this is quite unique. Prabhupada's not talking about something different. You want to be like Mother Yashoda? Who wants to be like Mother Yashoda? One person. Two people. Three people. Now, here Prabhupada is asking, do you want to be in Vatsalya Ras? Have you heard that much that your desire has awakened that I want to be in this type of devotion? So it is something new. And then Prabhupada talks about it further on in the purport. Okay, he says, if you have that desire, then you should hear. Because that's the sadhana of Krishna consciousness. Nam Sankirtan and reading and hearing. Those are the two things. It is not that one should desire to become like Yashoda. Meaning, like means don't desire to be Yashoda. For this is Maivad. Either in parental affection or conjugal love, friendship or servitorship, in any way, we must follow in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, not try to become like them. So we don't want to become Yashoda, we don't want to become Sridham or Srimati Radharani or anybody else. Why do you want to be someone else? Be yourself. Just find out who you are. And if you hear, then one of these four different types of services will become attractive. But if you don't, you won't. And you can't just go to the spiritual world as a blank slate. Now it's interesting, in Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami does talk about a unqualified form of prema. In other words, a certain prema where the prema is not defined by a particular relationship with Krishna. But it's a temporary state and it's only developed by proper association and guidance. But that's an exception. That's not what our acharyas are advising. Prabhupada goes on. Therefore, this description is provided here. Advanced devotees. Okay, this is for advanced devotees. Advanced means you're sitting and chanting japa and not trying to control your mind. If you're trying to control your mind, you're not advanced. Even if you are controlling your mind, that's not enough. All you have to do is just chant Hare Krishna, and you should be able to just hear that. So if when chanting Hare Krishna, then chanting Hare Krishna is enough. You neither have to make an effort, nor keep bringing it back. So advanced devotees must cherish these descriptions. Everyone must cherish them. But specifically, Prabhupada continues, always thinking of Mother Yashoda's features, how she was dressed, how she was working and perspiring, how beautifully the flowers were arranged in her hair, and so on. One should take advantage of the full description provided here by thinking of Mother Yashoda and maternal affection for Krishna. So someone who's really going to be attracted to that, and they are advanced devotees, they're going to naturally want to think about this. This description becomes very attractive to them. Okay, let's read on.
Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued.
Wait, we already read that. My mistake. Reading on. What happened? Go on.
While Mother Yashoda was churning butter, Lord Krishna, desiring to drink the milk of her breast, appeared before her, and in order to increase her transcendental pleasure, He caught hold of the churning rod and began to prevent her from churning.
Continue.
Mother Yashoda then embraced Krishna, allowed him to sit down on her lap, and began to look upon the face of the Lord with great love and affection. Because of her intense affection, milk was flowing from her breast. But when she saw that the milk pan on the other oven was boiling over, she immediately left her son to take care of the overflowing milk, although the child was not yet fully satisfied with drinking the milk of his mother's breast. Being very angry and biting his reddish lips with his teeth, Krishna, with false tears in his eyes, broke the container of yogurt with a piece of stone. Then he entered a room and began to eat the freshly churned butter in a solitary place. Mother Yashoda, after taking down the hot milk from the oven, returned to the churning spot, and when she saw that the container of yogurt was broken and that Krishna was not present, she concluded that the breaking of the pot was the work of Krishna. Krishna at that time was sitting on an upside-down wooden mortar for grinding spices and was distributing milk preparations such as yogurt and butter to the monkeys as he liked. Because of having stolen, he was looking all around with great anxiety, suspecting that he might be chastised by his mother. Mother Yashoda, upon seeing him, very cautiously approached him from behind. When Lord Sri Krishna saw his mother, stick in hand, he very quickly got down from the top of the mortar and began to flee as if very much afraid. Although yogis tried to capture him as Paramatma by meditation, desiring to enter into the effulgence of the Lord with great austerities and penances, they failed to reach him. But Mother Yashoda, thinking that same personality of Godhead Krishna to be her son, began following Krishna to catch him. While following Krishna, Mother Yashoda, her thin waist overburdened by her heavy breasts, naturally had to reduce her speed. Because of following Krishna very swiftly, her hair became loose and the flowers in her hair were falling after her, yet she did not fail to capture her son Krishna. When caught by Mother Yashoda, Krishna became more and more afraid and admitted to being an offender. As she looked upon him, she saw that he was crying, his tears mixing with the black ointment around his eyes. And as he rubbed his eyes with his hands, he smeared the ointment all over his face. Mother Yashoda, catching her beautiful son by the hand, mildly began to chastise him. Mother Yashoda was always overwhelmed by intense love for Krishna, not knowing who Krishna was or how powerful he was. Because of maternal affection for Krishna, she never even cared to know who he was. Therefore, when she saw that her son had become excessively afraid, she threw the stick away and desired to bind him so that he would not commit any further naughty activities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no beginning and no end, no exterior and no interior, no front and no rear. In other words, he is all-pervading. Because he is not under the influence of the element of time, for him there is no difference between past, present, and future. He exists in his own transcendental form at all times. Being absolute beyond relativity, he is free from distinctions between cause and effect, although he is the cause and effect of everything. That unmanifested person who is beyond the perception of the senses had now appeared as a human child, and Mother Yashoda, considering him her own ordinary child, bound him to the wooden mortar with a rope. Whoops. While following Krishna, Mother Yashoda... No, we see that. We did that. When Mother Yashoda was trying to bind the offending child, she saw that the binding rope was short by a distance the width of 2 fingers. Thus she brought another rope to join to it. This new rope also was short by a measurement of 2 fingers, and when another rope was joined to it, it was still 2 fingers too short. As many ropes as she joined, all of them failed, their shortness could not be overcome. Thus Mother Yashoda joined whatever ropes were available in the household, but still she failed in her attempt to bind Krishna. Mother Yashoda's friends, the elderly gopis in the neighborhood, were smiling and enjoying the fun. Similarly, Mother Yashoda, although laboring in that way, was also smiling. All of them were struck with wonder. Because of Mother Yashoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When Child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound.
Okay. So this is the pastime. It's, of course, spoken in much greater detail. And there's so many wonderful... Hare Krishna. There's so many wonderful nuances and information that actually bring us to this stage. The Mother Yashoda is able to actually bind Krishna. I'm not going to discuss those. I'm sure you'll hear about them, or you can read about them again if you want. What type of devotional service did they perform to become? Not the parents, but what kind of devotional service do you do to get here? Drona and Dara, what did they do? They did austerities, but we don't know what they did in their austerities. What were they doing when they did austerities for such an extended period of time? What were they meditating on? They had a desire, but what were they meditating on at that time? So what we've heard from Srila Prabhupada and what we've heard from the text up to now is that the same culture of Krishna Bhakti awakens by hearing of those pastimes. Now, interestingly, Sanatana Goswami says, this pastime was already known. It was a very famous pastime before it happened. It was known. Krishna does this. Different incarnations. Obviously, Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj had forgotten that. They're not thinking about that now. For them, this is new, happening for the first time. But just the point I'm trying to make is that Drona and Dara were meditating and they were thinking about similar type of pastimes. That's the only way they could have attained that type of devotion, is to think about Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. Pastime ends. Shukadeva Goswami now really makes some very significant statements. I don't know this verse. Evam samdarshita hyanga harina britya vasyata svavasana pikrishnena yasedam sheshvaram vase. Translation.
O Maharaj Parikit, this entire universe with its great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma and Lord Indra is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet the Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute. He comes under the control of his devotees. This was now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime.
So, if you just note this phrase, Britya Vatsyata, Srila Prabhupada repeatedly quotes it, and I'll just quote another verse that comes way at the end of the pastime. After Nalakuvera Managriva, we're not going there, so then we're not going to do that, read that. But Sukadeva Goswami again repeats this. So everyone's under Krishna's control, but Krishna comes under control. This is the bhakti that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. Krishna prema pradayate. The word prema is very general. What type of prema? So Dhruva Maharaj has prema. No, it wasn't that type of prema. It's this type of prema. Let me just read a little, because I can't read the whole purport when Srila Prabhupada is saying. But here Srila Prabhupada says, contradictions. What contradictions? Contradictions that he controls everyone, but he's under control. How can you understand that? These contradictions cannot be understood by one who is not a devotee, but a devotee can understand how powerful is unalloyed devotional service to Krishna. It is unalloyed. When we talk about unalloyed, we're talking about prema bhakti, but a certain type of prema bhakti. This is what's called spontaneous prema bhakti. This is devotional service. It's not because Krishna's God. It's devotional service because Krishna's wonderful. And Krishna's very sweet. It's so powerful that Krishna can be controlled by unalloyed devotees. This, Britya Vatsata, Vashyata, does not mean that he is under control of the servant. Rather, he is under control of the servant's pure love. So Srila Prabhupada makes this very clear. Then there's a few very wonderful verses, and the thing is, Sukadeva Goswami is really, he doesn't do this with other pastimes. He does it with this pastime. It's a very famous pastime. We love it. There's so many pastimes of Krishna. You know, Janmashtami, we talk about Krishna's birth. But aside from that, what pastime do we spend a whole month glorifying? So it is. It's a very significant pastime, and it's particularly significant for those devotees who, as Srila Prabhupada says, want to love Krishna as Mother Yashoda does. Then he says another thing. And this verse I knew because I quoted it about half dozen times in the book. Nemam birincho na bhavo nashir api na angasamshraya prasadam le biri gopi yattat prapa vimuktidat. Yattat prapa vimuktidat.
Neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as was received by Mother Yashoda.
They practice devotional service, they get mercy. But to get this kind of mercy, or to be able to get the type of reciprocation that Mother Yashoda gets, then you have to practice a different type of bhakti yoga, which is hearing about and then chanting Krishna's names and qualities and pastimes so on. I see people are getting restless, so what to do? I'll just sort of continue with the idea of concluding relatively quickly. Srila Prabhupada once again quotes, Krishna has the transcendental quality of Britya Vashyata, becoming subordinate to his Britya or servant. So this is something nice to take away, one of Krishna's qualities. Britya Vashyata, becoming subordinate to his servant. Someone's telephone is ringing somewhere. Now, we had a discussion earlier about his Mother Yashoda, a sadhaka, a sadhana siddha. Someone became Mother Yashoda. I won't get into all the arguments, but Srila Prabhupada says, can someone answer the phone, wherever it is?
Reception.
She is therefore a nitya siddha devotee, Prabhupada said. An expansion of Krishna's Larini potency. His potency to enjoy transcendental bliss through expansions who are special devotees. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhis. Such devotees are not sadhana siddha. Mother Yashoda is not a sadhana siddha. She's an eternal associate of Krishna. Prabhupada says such nice things here, but just like in this verse, you see the verse na nema virincho na bhavo nastir. She said, na, why is it na? Prabhupada says it's meant to emphasize that no one compares to Mother Yashoda. No one is Mother Yashoda's equal. And of course here Gopi, Goki means Mother Yashoda. This verse is quoted. Acharya's verse quoted. Srila Prabhupada quotes it. Other people are also quoting. And then we go to another very famous verse. And this is the last verse here before he goes on to continuing the pastime. And what does it say? This I know, but I'll read again. Nayam sukapo bhagavan dehinam gopika sutta gyaninam chatma bhutanam yatat bhaktat matam iha.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service. But he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self.
In the purport, Prabhupada says, therefore, karmis, jnanis, yogis, and saintly persons are all seeking Krishna. But by following in the footsteps of devotees who are in a direct relationship with Krishna, meaning by hearing of them, I'm saying that, especially the inhabitants of Vrindavan, one can reach the supreme position of associating with Krishna. As it is said, Vrindavanam parityaja padam ekam dagacchati. Further, Prabhupada says, if one follows in the footsteps of these devotees, Krishna is available. Although the Nitya-Siddha expansions of Krishna always remain with Krishna, if those engaged in sadhana-siddhi, in other words, you want to attain sadhana-siddha, follow in the footsteps of Krishna's Nitya-Siddha associates, such sadhana-siddhas also can easily attain Krishna without difficulty. This is what our bhakti is about. Krishna, what's the verse? Janunagana. Charitadi sutirtananu krishnos mitena tishta vrajetad anugami jananugami. So Rupa Goswami says this is the essence of all advice. So the essence of everything is in that shloka. So he says, yes, vraja tishta anugami jananugami, you follow in the footsteps. Here, about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And that's it. Then the pastime goes, and you're off the hook in moments. And we go to Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. We don't hear about that. This was chapter 9. He starts, well, who were these demigods, and how did they get in that position? Chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11. Four chapters this pastime spans. It's got an introduction in chapter 8, and it starts like that. 9, 10, 11. So it's very rare that you got any pastime that goes through. Prahlad Maharaj, Nishingadev, they take up a good part of the 7th canto. Okay, so this is very interesting. Darshayam tadvidam loka atmano vritya vasyatam. He says it again. Vrajasyo vaha by harsham bhagavan bala chastita. The pastime now is over. Nala Kuvera and Manigriva have gone back with prema bhakti. He's finishing the pastime. You have to have a conclusion. The conclusion is,
to pure devotees throughout the world who could understand his activities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, exhibited how much he can be subdued by his devotees, his servants. In this way, he increased the pleasure of the Brajvasis by his childhood activities.
So note what Srila Prabhupada is saying. He's saying two devotees. This is a message to devotees. And here we are. And Prabhupada has a short purport. I'm going to read that. This is a message to devotees. To what devotees? To those devotees who are practicing devotional service or practicing regulated devotional service, then Krishna is saying what? It says that you want to attain me, you have to do it like this. So he says, how you can be subdued? You have to hear in the same way about this pastime, other pastimes, it will gradually rub off. By hearing, the desire for a certain type of bhakti will manifest, a certain type of relationship, as Srila Prabhupada has earlier said, will awaken within a devotee. And that is the bhakti which is Braja Bhakti. When we talk about going back home, back to Godhead, that's what we talk about. It's very, very difficult. It's very, very rare. We're given the opportunity. And I will just, we're given Krishna Prema. I'm going to just read this purport and then finish in 5 minutes. That Krishna performed childhood activities to increase the pleasure of his devotees with another transcendental humor. He exhibited these activities not only to the inhabitants of Brajabhumi, but to others who were captivated by his external potency and opulence. Both the internal devotees who were simply absorbed in love for Krishna and the external devotees who were captivated by his unlimited potency were informed of Krishna's desire to be submissive to his servant. If you read the fourth chapter of Adilila, then Krishna will say there, I'm not satisfied by all that type of worship that you've read about in the first 9 cantos. It doesn't fully satisfy me. I'm satisfied, but it doesn't fully satisfy me. This is the only thing that completely satisfies Krishna. It's that kind of love that is completely fulfills all of Krishna's needs and satisfaction. He wants to be subservient. He really wants to be the object of love, not because he has a position, but because of who he is. So the judge, the prime minister, everybody else who has a position, they don't want to be loved, although it's very rare that you get a loved prime minister. But they don't want to be loved because of who they are, or what they are, excuse me, but because of who they are as people. And that happens by who? That happens by their families. Their families are the people who don't care whether they're prime minister or not. It's just my father. So we have the opportunity. Krishna prema pradayate. We have love for Krishna, believe it or not, and many don't. Because somehow or another they're not rolling on the ground in ecstasy. But Krishna prema pradayate comes in two forms. It comes in one way that you read about in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Chaitanya just embraces someone and they attain love of God. And for others it comes in a different way. So there's a very nice example. Sanatana Goswami gives this example. Just like if you invite me for lunch, and please don't invite me for lunch because I had a lunch yesterday and that was enough for the next week. But it was the best meal I had this century. It was over here at Radha Sangha's place. And I won't go into the details of the lunch. But there's two ways. One is if I get invited for lunch and everything's all ready, and you just sit down and they bring out the plate and that's it. And the other is if they say, okay, there's the kitchen, there's the preparations, you cook. First of all, it's going to be a disaster because I'm a disastrous cook. But it's another way of giving me the lunch. One is you get the meal, and the other one is you cook it yourself. This Kripa Siddha. Kripa Siddha, we're just by mercy, you just get everything. Here's the meal, you don't have to do anything. You may not even want it, but you still get it. And that's very rare. But the other one is, okay, here's the ingredients, you cook it. And that's called sadhana bhakti. If you don't cook it, you go hungry. You may have all the ingredients, but you're still not going to have the meal. So you have to cook it. And here, a very important ingredient is actually being pointed out as to what it for us to actually have that meal. This is more or less the fire. That if you want, you're going to have to turn on the fire, aside from just chopping everything and having everything ready to go. So, Nam Sankirtan, along with hearing about Krishna's pastimes, constantly hearing of Krishna's pastimes. Lord Chaitanya says, can I have the thing that fits in here before it's too late? Lord Chaitanya says that just as a person becomes full, or people maintain themselves by what? By eating grains. Although nowadays people sort of refrain from grains, although Krishna says, Anad Bhavanti Bhuta. In the same way as by eating you maintain yourself, similarly devotees nourish themselves and become healthy by hearing about Krishna's pastimes. You know the verse?
Ye lila amrita vine, kaya yadi amrita.
Speak.
I only know the first two lines.
So, yes, that's how devotees become spiritually strong. And that's the message of this pastime. So there's something very, very special going on here. That's why we're chanting it for a whole month. We've got to get the message. That's what Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us. Prabhupada's repeating it over and over again. Shukadev Goswami is repeating it over. One has to awaken a different type of devotion. It's a devotion where we're doing things because we're attached to Krishna. Not because I have to. Not because I promised that I would. Not because I know that this way I'm going to get out of the material world and go back to Godhead. But because I'm attached to Krishna, and that's my life. Hearing about Krishna and chanting Hare Krishna. Thank you for your attention. You did a fantastic job. Hare Krishna to everyone on Mayapur TV. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.